teleportation over vast distances worked the same way. Matter and energy were pinned to the space, and when it was exchanged with another space, they simply changed too. Thus, matter and energy would seem to disappear in one place and appear in another. They didn't actually change. Only the space did. Johnny could see now how Earth had been attacked. Informed in some way of its existence, possibly from some cyclo station in this universe, the cyclos had only to fish in its coordinates. They evidently used a recorder of some sort. They cast the recorder out to a test set of coordinates and then got it back and looked at the pictures. If the recorder vanished, they knew they had sent it into the mass of the planet. Then, they just had to adjust the coordinates for a new recorder cast. In that way, they had sent the killer gas. When it dissipated, they had followed it with cyclos and weapons. That was how Earth had been wiped out and conquered. But it didn't tell Johnny how to reverse the process. Any cyclo station out there could teleport new gas or even an army to Earth at will. That was the point that was giving him a headache.
"You're not very chatty,"
said Kerr, circling to land at the old defense base, going dead slow because of loose machinery. Johnny came out of it. He pointed at the button camera that hung around his neck.
"Forget it,"
said Kerr, to his astonishment.
"They only have a range of about 2 miles.
He pointed at his work jacket pocket flap. A much smaller button camera with the symbol of the company on it was actually serving as a real button.
"Not 5 or more?
Asked Johnny.
"Crap no,"
said Kerr.
"The security measures of this company are a pain. There's no recorder in this plane, I checked. What the splintered asteroid are we doing hauling this machinery over to this old defense base?"
He looked down.
"Doesn't even look like a defense base anyway."
And it didn't. It was just some buildings, not even a landing field. No bunkers anyone could see. Some kind of a strange series of pointed things standing up at one end.
"Turl gives the orders,"
said Johnny, a bit resigned.
"Blast no, these weren't Turl's orders. I saw them. They were signed by the head of the planet. Turl was even complaining. He said he wondered whether old Numph had gone off his computers."
It gave Johnny new data, but not what Kerr thought. Turl was covering his tracks. This was Turl's project. It made him uneasy.
"This stuff,"
said Kerr with a backward jerk of his head,
"is supposed to be practice equipment, but for who? It's perfectly good mining equipment. Hold on, we're gonna land."
He punched the console buttons, and the freighter crept down and landed easily and level. Kerr put on his face mask.
"Another funny thing. There's no supply of breathe gas with any of this stuff. Just what was left in their tanks. You're the only one I know that can operate these machines without breathe gas in the canopies. You gonna operate all these machines?"
He laughed.
"It'd sure run your butt off. Let's unload.